know what time it is, but I'll tell you anyway. It's the broadcast, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This, of course, your ear rapist, Ben. We are recording live from the Frat Quarters in San Francisco. Super blogger Vince in the house.
Super Bowl blogger.
Yeah, but yeah. You don't write about it, so it's not true.
Well, whatever, man.
That's just whatever.
It won't be the Super Bowl of blogging, but I'll be blogging while it's the Super Bowl, so it'll kind of be like the Super Bowl of blogging.
Are you doing live blogging for it?
No.
Oh.
I don't think anybody would want that.
I don't know. Maybe. Future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan is in the house.
Hey-o.
Doppler. He's Dopplering it up.
And then, of course, Squirrel Flu Brett.
I'm at a lifetime high of dog petting today. I think I've maxed out on the number of dogs I've ever petted in a single day. I'm just petting all the dogs.
Petting every single one.
I've petted like 100 dogs today.
That's impressive.
Sounds like a good day.
It was a pretty good day. It just took up all my day. I haven't done a lot work-wise.
That was my favorite line from Ice Cube's song. Petted a lot of dogs today. Today was a good day. We're going to have the National Film Society.
You got it. Stephen and Patrick.
Stephen and Patrick. They're going to come on. We got some real... They have a YouTube channel show. They're with PBS.
Yeah.
They're like pros, unlike us, who are...
Oh, yeah.
We don't even know what
they're... Well, pros. Doing. They're publicly financed. I don't know if that counts as pros.
Sounds professional.
By viewers like you.
Yeah, that's true. He's got a point.
Annenberg CPB project.
Ooh. We got a couple good emails I wanted to get started with.
Let's start off with that, then.
If you guys are into that.
I love good emails.
This is about palindrome Android.
Ooh, this was a good one.
We were saying that every time someone describes PA, which is a production assistant, we were saying that it should actually stand for palindrome Android, like an Android that comes up with palindromes. And this one's from Mike. Masters of Fraud, I think it might be time to upgrade the palindrome Android software. As it was not able to produce Go Hang a Salami, I'm a Lasagna Hog, I thought learning this palindrome was a prerequisite for graduating middle school. It was in New Hampshire, at least. That's pretty great. I hadn't heard that one.
Let me tell you something. I went to New Hampshire once, and I went into this guy's shed, and he was building a musket, and he gave it to me and said, shoot it. And I said, where? And he said, just go outside. So just in case you want to frame a reference on New Hampshire.
Go like hang it. A salami. I'm a lasagna hog.
Did we double check that? Are we sure that's actually... Because, I mean, that's a lot of letters in a row. It's like 100 letters.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I really like that. Lasagna hog just by itself is good.
Ring, 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 ring.
So I was just picturing...
What are you doing just riding my lasagna hog?
I was picturing a pig.
Oh, Garfield.
Yeah, I was picturing Garfield.
Oh, no, I was thinking a middle-aged white guy with a beard just riding a
lasagna.
just marinara, just spraying out the pipes.
The pieces, the layers of pasta just flapping together.
Up in the front with the wind?
Yeah.
We got some fan voicemail for Brett.
Ooh. Hello, Brett. I think I'm your soulmate because we're both angry and we both want to really hit something, but not actually hit anything. I love you and bones.
I love you too. That's nice.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was.
People like you, Brett.
That was nice.
People really turned a corner on Brett.
I don't feel like Brett's as much angry as he is exasperated.
True. I'm frustrated. Definitely frustrated.
Yeah, not that angry, though.
I have a hard time caring enough to enough to be angry.
Yeah, because you're frustrated. You care enough to be frustrated.
Yeah, anger requires a certain level of optimism. That
you can fix it by punching.
Exactly.
I don't believe that.
Or your
anymore.
Optimism has been betrayed. Therefore, you're
true.
Angry.
Right.
There's desperation. I would say probably just some emptiness too.
It's just a quiet exasperation.
Yeah.
And sometimes a loud exasperation.
Sometimes a harump, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shuffly.
Yeah, very shuffly.
Getting really angry, it takes a lot of energy.
I get tired.
Yeah. You'd rather play new
games. I'd rather not give you the pleasure, frankly.
Of being angry.
I don't want you to see me reacting to you. I'd rather just you not exist.
Or just me see you ignoring me.
Yeah. Oh, that's even better. If you notice that I am willfully ignoring you... And still have to continue doing whatever you're doing. That's probably the best thing that could happen to me. Yeah. Other than petting like 100 dogs.
Yes, quite.
We had a couple voicemails and emails on the topic of doing embarrassing things. I think this is one of the better voicemails that we've gotten.
Ooh.
On this subject and just in general.
Glad you listened to them this week.
Hey, guys. It's Cherith Cute Story. So I don't know, like, if I'm allowed to call in with just any topic, but I embarrassed myself today pretty bad, so I thought I would just call in. So for the past few months, I've been working pretty closely with a partner at the firm. And today was going to be the day where I basically asked him for more responsibility, you know, trying to claw my way up the corporate ladder. But I figured, all right, before you sit down with him, go get some lunch first. So I go up to the top floor of the building, which is where the cafeteria is, and I get some fucking quinoa. And
it's actually the name, like fucking quinoa.
Big fountain drink. Because, you know, if you're going to be eating the healthiest food on the planet, I guess you may as well drink the worst thing you can possibly find. But anyway, so I get my quinoa and my fountain drink, and I'm walking back across the cafeteria, and the space is huge. It's like a 50-yard walk from one end to the other. And sure enough, seated at the other end is the partner, and I lock eyes with him. And I'm doing that thing where, like, you're holding a fountain drink and you're trying to get the straw in your mouth, but you keep missing. And I'm like, lock eyes with him, and I'm just, like, chomping at the air, trying to get the straw. And I'm doing this, like, the entire walk. I just can't get the straw in my mouth, and I'm still staring at him, and he's staring back. And I finally get up to him and just kind of nod hello, because at this point I'm completely psyched out. And then I just leave. I just walk out the back of the cafeteria. And I still can't get the straw in my mouth. So I look down at the top of the cup, and there's not even a goddamn straw in it. I had forgotten to get a straw. So, like, from my perspective, that entire walk was just me trying to get a goddamn sip of Diet Coke. But what must it have been like from his perspective? Like, what did he think I was doing? Just, like, mouthing at the air like a fucking carp. Like, did he think I had, like, peanut butter stuck to the roof of my mouth? Did he think I was having a stroke? Like, and, like, what is he thinking now? Like, what is he doing right now? I picture him, like, staring out a window with a glass of scotch, just thinking, like, my God, I have to fire that attorney. Anyway, the point is, I think I ruined my career tonight. So.
Yeah.
That was an exceptional voicemail.
Wasn't it?
That was really good.
It had like a beginning, well-paced, a middle, and an end, and a conflict.
Yeah.
That reminds me of in high school, probably my freshman year. I grew up in a nice area, but the funny part about where I grew up was there's a lot of really wannabe ghetto people. And
as there tends to be.
Yeah.
The, like, richer the area, the more wannabe ghetto people there are.
The richer and whiter the area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was crazy. But guys who were completely lacked any self-awareness of, like, come on, dude, are you for real? But I still remember this one guy who was kind of considered, like, the toughest dude. He was, you know, we were all, like, 14, and he was bench pressing, like, 225, which is pretty serious for, like, a 14-year-old. He was bigger and stronger than everybody. And there was, like, this big group of ghetto kids, and so my friends sort of somewhat intersected with his circle of friends one time. But anyway, I remember seeing him after school one time when we were all hanging out in the park. And he saw a bunch of other ghetto kids that I didn't know. And he started yelling at him. And I just remember him being like, yeah, yeah, tell Twan I'm going to whoop his ass too. And he's like all high. And then he reaches into his pocket because this is the 90s and he's wearing huge baggy jeans. And he pulls out a treetop apple juice box juice. And then he pokes a little straw in it and starts going like,
I'm going to kick your ass right after it finishes the apple juice.
Right.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Anyone else picture the quinoa also in a fountain drink cup? Because that was the first, like, he's hitting
just
with the ice.
Fisting it.
Just blah, blah, coming out of the machine. It's like quinoa fountain. Blah, like cake batter.
Yeah, I like that. Like little dipping dots just coming out of a.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kevin Monroe was the first guy I heard call him hipster grits.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
I like that name better than I've ever liked quinoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So would kale be like hipster lettuce? No.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I like quinoa.
I like quinoa. I like quinoa fine.
Yeah. Quinoa's fine. A-okay with me.
Yeah.
Kale's a little hard to get into.
I like kale.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's nice when it's crunchy.
Yeah. It's good because you can get it greasy and still break even health-wise.
Yeah. All right. So we got another embarrassing story email from reader Michael. Hi, guys. I apologize, but I'm a few shows behind, and I just heard a comment from Vince saying his butt itches due to his anal fracking, and it reminded me of a story I figured I'd share. That was a reference to me farting so much that I have an anal fissure.
It's fracking.
Basically, I've fracked my own bowels. Anyway.
You can light his diarrhea on fire.
Mm-hmm. Or my
like
pee.
Gasland.
A few years ago, when I was still a single man living alone, I was watching TV and farting without shame, as I guess I'm still want to do, but I digress.
This one's yucky.
And on this particular night, I had an unusually awful gas. I didn't really think twice about it, but it still stood out to me as being particularly bad. At any rate, later when I was in bed and about to fall asleep, my asshole itched, so naturally, I reached down to give it an over-the-boxer scratch. To my surprise, it was wet, and I immediately put my fingers to my nose to confirm my fear, and sure enough, I had sharted at some point in the evening. I quickly ran to the bathroom and cleaned myself up. Luckily, it was just a minor shart, and nothing leaked onto my boxers or anything, but on my boxers, there was still an unmistakable brown imprint of the two fingers I used to scratch my asshole. After I was done washing my ass and hands, I still smelled the shit, and it was then that I realized when I had put my two fingers close to my nose that I had left some residual poop on my mustache. So yes, I essentially gave myself a dirty Sanchez. Even though I scrubbed it for about 5 minutes straight, I was still so grossed out that I finally just shaved my whole beard off. Just when I thought the whole incident couldn't get any worse, when I went to lay back down in bed, I couldn't help but notice the exact same unmistakable brown imprint of my fingers that were in my boxers were also on my sheets from when I rolled out of bed. I just ripped them off and slept on my bare mattress. At the time, I was horrified by the whole thing, but now it's one of my favorite stories.
It's like an Edgar Allan Poe story where the two fingers just keep appearing. Or like Lovecraft where he goes crazy at the end and he has to shave his face off.
Right.
Just, oh my God. The two fingers from space and my butt.
The telltale doo-doo stank.
I had a traumatizing experience.
The murders in the doo-doo morgue.
I had a traumatizing experience at work this week.
Brendan and I were coming up with Edgar Allan porn titles.
Yeah.
I think I liked the squirters in the room morgue. What else was there? Telltale Hard-On.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
The
raping.
What was it? The the fall of the house of Gusher.
Oh, yeah.
Fall of the house of Gusher. You should have done Spouse, the fall of the spouse of Gusher.
Oh, yeah.
Double two for one. What are you saying, Ben?
So, sometimes at work, you gotta take a dump. And so at my office, there's two dumping stalls. One's the smaller one, and one you can't see the person's feet. And so, but I always know if someone's in there because you can tell when the lock is turned. And someone did not lock the door, and just barged right in. And you go in far enough,
yeah,
where you see
you're gonna have to take two steps back because you've got momentum going in.
I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in there, and there's just a coworker pooping.
Yeah.
And oh my God, so sorry. And then I have to like sprint out of there. I don't think I'd ever moved so quickly.
I imagine you turning and missing the door and just hitting the side of the handicap stall and falling down maybe into his crotch.
Yeah. Fortunately that didn't happen, but I still am haunted by this image of a half naked man pooping.
Using his iPhone?
I don't know what was going on. I had to get out of there.
I like to read.
Oh, I'm always on my phone.
Yeah.
How do people poop before iPhones?
You know how gross your iPhone screen must be bacteria-wise?
That's
disgusting.
That
That's awful.
I would actually print stuff out back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably safer.
Well, that was pre-iPhone. Now I'll like email myself a link and then go in there and read that.
I think I probably took like, six shits a day during my working man days.
Where would you find the bowel strength to...
Well, I wouldn't really shit. I would just go in and read stuff.
No wonder you have a little fissure.
Yeah. God,
I just hang out there and read. Jesus. It was like my quiet place.
How come no office building has enough toilets?
Because Vince is in all of them just reading. He's just fucking reading a book in there.
Then you have to go to another floor and people are like, oh, what are you doing on this floor? It's like just the pooping. Accountants and stuff. Just pooping. Had to come up to get some papers.
Toilet papers.
So I emailed myself a link have to retrieve it.
Sorry. So someone sent me this link to this band who wrote a whole, it's just called My Dick, and they wrote a whole album of songs. There's 23 songs that are about dicks. And sorry, I didn't realize it was that loud. This like himself on like a move or something.
Is this Wang Chung?
No, close.
I like it when they use the word as a preposition or...
See where that one was going.
Sometimes it's the simple ones really work out well.
It's my dick
on a wedding day.
I had a football coach who used to be like, hey, you gotta get low, you're straight up and down like a wedding dick.
Wow, that's old school.
Yeah, that is old school.
Up and down, that's not,
there's a lot wrong with that simile.
Yeah, it's not how
straight up and down. Like you're standing straight up like a wedding dick.
So are you laying down?
No, you're not low enough.
He's like straight up and down like a pencil.
Yeah, but why is the dick straight up and down is the question.
You have like a boner on the altar?
Yeah.
That's what you need.
That's what all the cool guys do.
You don't you never seen the priest?
That's why it's also called the cool guy boner.
Interchangeable.
You know about that?
Is that part of the therapy?
Google cool guy boner and see what comes up.
Hey, bro.
Cool guy's all one word.
You got a cool guy boner? All right, you do? All right, let's do it.
I'm really nervous about my wedding, guys. I don't know if I can get hard right up on the altar, like with everyone staring at me.
Just sport a cool guy boner.
It's kind of weird.
It's everyone, all the cool people do it. It's all right.
I can see that being like a workaholic segment. Oh, you never had a cool guy boner? And then it becomes like the basis of the episode somehow.
You should write for film. That is...
It's pretty good. I'm just spitballing here.
Well, Vince is really excited because did you guys see Entourage is going to be made into a full-length movie, you guys?
God,
it's like three,
fuck yes, bro.
Damn it.
Three episodes into one long episode.
Dude, but how many pool parties are they going to be if there's a whole movie of it?
Well, what I love is there's so much conflict, but then it gets resolved. I'm always concerned.
Yeah. I know. For a couple minutes there, you're like, oh, crap, is this going to work out?
It's like, dude, Vince doesn't want to read the script. How is he going to know what the movie's about?
How are they going to make the movie with them if the director takes everybody to a strip club?
So I've seen all three of the first three episodes of Entourage, and that perfectly describes them. Does it just not change? Is it just over and over
yes,
again?
No, it's pretty much the same. I think I watched like the first
couple seasons.
I probably watched like six or seven episodes all told.
I've watched parts. I think the only one I watched in full was one of the characters stole an action figure from someone important, and that was like the whole plot. And then I remember one where Chuck Liddell threatened to beat everyone up.
Yeah, I did, yeah, because someone stole his car or something, or they fake stole his car, or
was
something.
Yeah, it was like a punk. It was a punk. It was a fake punked. Can we please not recap Entourage? That's like the worst thing we could do as human beings.
It's really like it was a decent concept. It's just like all the actors in that are horrible, and none of the characters are even like a smidge likable, and they're just really poorly drawn. Like, Johnny Drama is the worst in the whole thing. Like, that character is so retarded. He says the dumbest shit ever, like, that not even a cartoon of a retarded person would say.
None of them are likable. None of them are realistic.
I wore this belt because I thought it made my eyes pop. Really? Really, that's the line you wrote in your show? All right.
Yeah, no one's likable. And, I mean, Jeremy Piven, you know, he was sort of fun for a little while. But even him, it's, like, so repetitive every single
time.
He's
the only good actor in the show.
Not to mention, a lot of it is this big Hollywood inside wink, wink joke
wink.
Thing. So,
like, it should be more satirical, but it's just sort of self-glorifying.
It's an outsider winking in, where like, hey, I wish I were a part of that. I like what you got in that showroom. Let me drive that car sometime. No locking the doors.
But all even right. Little stuff, just like, hey, they're eating at this restaurant. That's where all the screenwriters go to, like, be like. Like broker the big deals or, you know, whatever. Shit like that. But not saying anything about it. Just kind of like, hey, we know that there's this thing.
We wrote a whole episode about Nikki Fink because she's a thing now.
Right.
Did that happen?
I don't know if she was a whole episode, but they've definitely referenced her many times. And now, of course, like, her site is just on.
Is she a TMZ person?
Nuts. No, she runs Deadline Hollywood, which
she's
is.
She's the told you.
It's
person.
Basically.
I don't know what that is.
She's basically a one-woman TMZ, but she just has a very insider...
Yuck.
She has a very insider blog. Actually, she's more like the Perez Hilton of Hollywood, where she's just like... Except she's really... She's like this... No one knows what she looks like. There's just like this one super small picture on her site. Like, there's no pictures of her anywhere. And she's just this really insular, self-aggrandizing blogger. And like everything she writes is just really, really smarmy and mean. And like, I feel like if the word cunt hadn't been invented, it would have probably been invented for Nikki Fink. She just is like super cunty. And I don't know. She basically does the thing where she inserts herself in every story. And like every time they do any exclusive, it's just all that the headline is always told you. TOLDJA. That's like she's known for told you.
With an apostrophe?
No. Just told you.
Is she?
Just one word.
Is she really... sort of in the know, or is she just get...
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
Sort of like Perez Hilton is sort of now gets around town and...
Yeah, I mean, she... I think it's partly self-built and then partly... Like, she was doing reporting. Like, she definitely was breaking stories and stuff. But it was also, like, stories that no one really cared about either. It wasn't like she was uncovering the Watergate hearings or anything.
I think the tabloidery is probably the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
Without actually being a villain.
It's not quite tabloid. It's more just like super inside trade news.
People fucking love it, though.
I know. Well, and it's the weird thing is, like, it actually works. The whole just constantly reminding people that you're awesome and I broke this news story and just putting yourself in stories. The sad thing is it actually works because, like, she sold her site a few years back for a crap load of money. Like, way more money than it was worth based on traffic. Just because
of the name,
just because it has like this whole aura around it, like, ooh, she's this insider.
You get more info because you get her.
Yeah, or just like she'll write stories about like why so and so got fired from Variety today, and like no one would give a shit about that because it's just some random dude that no one gives a fuck about. But like,
I gave a fuck.
But
I miss Kevin.
Yeah. In the act of her writing about it, it makes her seem
Variety.
Like
Kevin Variety.
He was the funniest guy.
Ironically, he worked for the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, but you know, in the act of her writing about it, it makes her seem like she's the most insider of insiders because she knows about some stuff that other people probably knew about but didn't care enough to write about it.
In the blogosphere, do you guys get golden handcuffs when someone buys out your site? Do you have to write for, you know, bro body douche?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Variety is just, Variety just got bought by Penske Media, which owns Deadline. They bought Deadline, and then now they just bought Variety, which was also Movie Line was part of that. And
so do you?
A bunch of people are getting fired, basically.
Do you get a contract, and that contract carries over? Do people buy out your contract essentially?
No, I think a lot of times, like, the new owner just comes in and is like, "Well, here's what we're gonna do now."
Cat pictures, and then makes a fart sound, and everyone's fired.
Do you do you read all this in Blog News Weekly?
We talk.
Yeah. At the
it's on all the forums.
Yeah. Bloggy Wood Insider.
Yeah. Oh my God, I would never go to a blogging forum. That is a tiny hell inside of a larger hell.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Lots of good blog stuff this week.
We get like a blog box every month, which is just like, you know, like lice combs and just beard wax.
Do you get those things that cover your shoes? The sanitary slippers?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's like a special comb for combing Cheetos dust out of your beard and chest hair.
Do they give you the glove that you've always wanted where it's attached to the Flamin' Hot Cheetos bag?
They should.
And you insert your hand in and it's a glove.
That's what I've been saying. Dude, don't say this out loud. Someone's going to steal my brilliant idea.
Damn it.
Oh.
You could license that
out. Then it's vacuum sealed. The Cheetos exist in a place you can no longer get to them.
No, the glove comes off.
Don't.
It's like the straw on a Capri Sun.
I thought it was like a thermos where the insides only attached to the outside
it's
by
like
the rim.
Hermetically sealed. It's like you stick your hand in, and it's like where you touch the nuclear stuff.
Yeah,
but then you twist it, and it's like it's like,
and it becomes
and a bunch
like
of dry ice like, flies
it's
out.
It's like Jurassic Park where you're stealing the embryos.
Right. You can't take that glove's attached. You can't ever get into the whole point is you can't get into the nuclear site.
No, there's like an airlock.
Why would you ever undo the airlock? You could get sucked in the Cheetos bag.
It makes it a little bit more expensive, but worth it.
Oh God, and dust.
It's gonna be
the dust
roughly
would be
three times the price.
3 to 3.5 times the price.
But you know, you're not gonna get your hands all orange.
Meanwhile, the fuckers at Frito-Lay canceled the biodegradable Sun Chip bag. Because it crinkled too loudly when you were shoving your face full of Sun Chips.
That was classic.
God, that is just...
I thought they were less crinkly, for the record.
You should have spoken up.
You should have brought it to street court. Just crinkle a bag in the street.
If anybody has any objections, crinkle your bag now.
I testify before God in the stop sign. This is less crinkly than it was before.
Vince, can we play the YouTube video you have?
Yes, yes.
I love it.
Any context, or is it just getting played?
This is a behind-the-scenes exclusive. Christian Bale and Morgan Freeman didn't know they were being recorded during the filming of The Dark Knight.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
So the way to beat him is to cut off his supply.
Exactly, Mr. Wayne. Is that a cut?
We're cut?
I really like this one. It's something.
Yeah, they've really, you know, you didn't think it could get any better than the last two.
Chris, were you ever concerned that they would want to do a scene with both Batman and Bruce Wayne in the same scene?
No, they wouldn't do a scene where Batman and Bruce Wayne are in the same scene because they're...
If it happened, they could do anything. They were at the mercy of the pen, as I like to say.
So you don't understand that... Okay... Bruce Wayne is a character in this film, and at night he dresses up as the Batman.
I don't understand.
Oh my God. Are you telling me that you thought this whole time that they were they have two different voices? You know, Bruce Wayne talks like this, and then Batman speaks with a growl.
That's it. That's the other character you play.
Son of a bitch. Nolan Freeman doesn't understand. He hits himself and an alter ego. You understand what I'm...
No.
Okay.
Full disclosure, I haven't seen the first two films.
You haven't seen the first films?
I was going to go to the premiere. I was walking, and I saw a sandwich board that said extra large subs, $2.99. And I just had to go in and see what that was about.
So you haven't seen the first two movies at all?
No.
I think you should go home and watch, rent them. Just find those movies.
You know, I'll tell you that I will, but I just know that I won't. I won't watch them because I'll Netflix them. They'll come. I'll take them out. I'll put them on my DVD stand right there next to 7 years in Tibet. Netflix is basically just a glorified coaster company.
That last line slays me.
It hit home for you guys, didn't it?
That is a spot-on, incredible Christian Bale.
It's yeah, really it really good. Is.
Morgan Freeman needs a little bit of work. But
no, the Morgan Freeman is pretty lackluster, but it's more than made up for with a pretty stellar Christian Bale.
Really, really good.
It's excellent delivery. Hard to,
what?
Excellent delivery.
Yeah, it'd probably be hard to have the same... for one, a person with one vocal quality to be able to do both Christian Bale and Morgan Freeman.
That, I didn't realize that was the same.
Isn't it? Was it? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't.
No, they'd speak over each other. I mean, you could have just two-tracked well, yeah. it, but because of technology.
Yeah.
I played iBrain for people today. I brought that
oh,
back.
Really?
Back to life.
Oh, so good.
I love watching someone listen to iBrain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Because they kind of get tired of the original
like,
sketch.
Why am I listening
yeah,
to this?
Yeah, and they turn to you and they're like, and that's usually exactly the point where he switches modes.
Well, I remember,
don't ruin it for anyone because that's the whole.
Sure. But I remember my feelings mirroring pretty closely the other guys on the podcast
with the groans. With
on.
The groans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patton. And, it's Patton Oswalt.
Oh, is it Patton Oswalt? Yeah. I didn't even realize it was him.
Yeah.
And I remember Vince having me play it at my apartment one time, and I was just going, come on, this is.
Why are you making me listen to this? Yeah, it's this the reaction every
and
time.
And they start heckling him halfway through it. Please, please, please.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I have a clip of Patton Oswalt when he was on the Adam Carolla podcast, and it's only like 10 or 15 seconds, but it's like this clip just sums up why Patton is my favorite comedian and why he's so fucking brilliant. Just the like, just the language. You'll have to hear it.
At a certain point, you get on MTV or you get on whatever, and you're traveling around, and the pussy starts getting fired at you from an air cannon, and you're not good at ducking. Am I right, Pat?
I just, pussy being fired from an air cannon. It is like
it's how they test jet engines.
Is that like a pussy drill?
It's you know, mm-hmm. it's like you. Here's what was it? You are like a meth addict that has stolen the idea of poetry, and you're just doing, you're doing donuts with it in a parking lot, and you're burning out all the gears, and they're just like, "Would you please give us poetry back?" But pussy out of a cannon. Oh God. Oh God. He threw a rod on that one.
It's like my favorite ever. Stole the idea for poetry, and he's doing donuts in the parking lot.
That silly meth addict. Give us back our poetry.
Butt pussy cannon.
Butt pussy cannon.
Yeah. Yeah. Not butt pussy cannon.
Wouldn't that be better?
Butt pussy.
That would be like the most confusing porn title ever. Butt pussy cannon.
I'm just saying we're on to something.
I think it's pretty direct.
Yeah. What is no? I'm
no because you're not no you're not sure which is modifying which.
But my confusion is tied to my arousal.
It shoots butts and pussies out of the cannon.
Usually, you like confusion other and others as a sign of arousal.
I'm cross-eyed and engorged.
Cross-eyed and tumescent.
Should we get our friends on?
Sure, sure. All right, well, we got Steven and Patrick from National Film Society. How you guys doing?
Good, good. How you guys doing?
We are doing excellent.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about National Film Society? I mean, I know it from, I don't know, I think Brett showed it to me first.
I did. I've been kind of into the PBS lineup lately, and I enjoy the swooshing sounds that come with their title most especially.
Nice, nice. We started doing some videos on YouTube about a year and a half ago. Patrick and I are both filmmakers, went to film school, and decided that we should make YouTube videos. So we started making these YouTube videos talking about filmmaking and movies and stuff, and sort of like a look at Hollywood from an outsider's perspective.
And do you guys live in LA now?
Yeah, yeah. Both of us. I'm from the Bay, but I've been here for about 7 years.
Pretty exciting weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good time to be a sports fan from the Bay. I think this might be the best year ever.
Yeah,
it's coming pretty close.
I just right. MLB auctions. They're auctioning off a bunch of stuff from the Giants playoff run, and I bought champagne corks from every from every series clinching win.
Did you really?
I really did.
How are you going to display champagne corks?
It doesn't matter. I'll have them.
I'm going to consume them and make them one with me.
So you should make keychains out of those. Wait, are you buying them from sfgiants.com? Or
it was MLB auctions or something. I won them on the auction.
Congratulations.
I guess.
Tell me how much approximately.
So the NLDS, I think, was $30. That was a bargain. the NLCS, I think, was $60. And then the World Series one was like $120 for a champagne cork.
You're going to get so much use out of those?
I'll look at them all the time and be like, that's when they won.
You're going to get so much poontang from those?
Dude. You should just wear it around your neck as a necklace.
Fucking pussy corks?
is there any way to prove that they're authentic?
Oh, yeah.
You have to carry your letter of authenticity with you.
On a different necklace.
Yeah.
Y'all have two necklaces, one with the letter of authenticity.
It's very elaborate.
You keep one in your wallet, laminated. What? Okay. That's not that big of a deal.
Sure.
Supposedly it comes with some sort of authenticity.
How many bottles of champagne did they pop? Probably hundreds. I mean, it's pretty slippery in the dugout.
Well, they didn't sell that many corks, so.
That's the follow-up to It's So Cold in the D. It's pretty slippery in the dugout.
They do seem to pop a lot of bottles of Budweiser or Bud Light these days,
How the
too.
Fuck do we post to keep dry?
So yeah. Slippery.
I remember when they won in 2010, there was that shot of Buster Posey doing that, like, you know, like how people pour like vodka in their eyes or something like that to get drunk.
Seen that?
What? Like, I think he was doing that to one of his teammates.
The
like
eyeball the, shot.
Yeah.
It's a thing?
Yeah. And I was like, Buster Posey.
You guys missed guys, the eyeball shot is right up our alley because there was numerous just breathless, hysterical local news stories about the eyeball shot.
Oh, really?
Where it's like, it's called an eyeball shot, and your children may be doing it right now. And then they've got like a reporter's like, I looked at Twitter and I found two tweets that referred to the eyeball shot. I asked a doctor. You probably shouldn't do that. There you go. Alarming stuff.
What's your favorite booze for eyeball shots?
I like a Macallan 12-year.
Like yeah.
Something smooth, you know?
Right.
The only thing similar that I can remember is in college, our friends loved to do something called a Scarface, where instead of...
We used to call it suicide.
Something, where instead of... It was a tequila shot, but instead of licking the salt and then having the lime shot after, you would snort the salt... Take the shot of tequila and then squirt the lime in your eyeball.
We used to call that the stunt man.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure
I never did one because I thought it was the stupidest thing.
So
I've ever
did I.
Seen.
All S-based names.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, it was. I looked at it and said, I don't need any of that. Maybe the tequila shot.
So moving, it's the perfect segue. How did you guys start working with PBS? Like you decided to start making YouTube videos, and then how did you end up getting hooked up with PBS?
So they actually found us. We had started, I guess, like a month after we started, they sent us an email to, you know, just the general email that we had listed on our YouTube channel. And they were sort of in the process of figuring out their strategy because they wanted to start, you know, this PBS Digital Studios. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like what we were doing was sort of funny and sort of smart. And they thought that, like, hey, this might be a right fit. And so so then we just kind of kept talking and then in touch as they kind of were kind of building their network and content on their end. And then we signed with them, like, last summer, like last May or something.
So
and became part of their sort of YouTube network.
So along those lines... it seems like PBS has a pretty strong presence on YouTube right now. I mean, between you guys, Off Book, and Idea Channel, I mean, they kind of have really strong content. Is that part of a larger PBS move onto digital, or are you guys like part of a weird schism there where they've got like the Downton Abbey crew, which is awesome, by the way, but separate? Right. And then you guys sort of at the forefront of the new stuff. Do you get insight into that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually, if you look at PBS and, you know, like pbs.org and stuff, I mean, they definitely care about digital and, you know, having a presence there. And, you know, the YouTube, you know, definitely Off Book and Idea Channel, you know, are like super amazing shows, and they have like a whole bunch of new ones, and they did these like remix videos. Did you ever see those? Like Mr. Rogers remix.
Yeah.
They put those out. And so, yeah, they're like very interested in, you know, in sort of developing this audience. And, you know, like they know that PBS does really well with children and like people who are older. And so there's like 60 and older. Yeah. And so they want to, you know, be relevant to people our age who, you know, probably grew up watching PBS, but maybe don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
except for Downton Abbey.
When they found us, it was like, we were like the first channel that they'd contacted. And I think it was largely because they liked our name. It sounded like something that, you know, bigger than two dudes who were kind of struggling with their film careers. But yeah, it's part of just like something larger where they're, you know, they like Steve was saying, they had all this traditional kind of content on their broadcast, and they're trying to reach like that middle demographic where, because people end up stopping watching Sesame Street, and then 50 years later they end up watching like, you know, that Roadshow or something like that.
Antiques Roadshow. Yeah. Yeah, many times I've kicked myself for trying to come up with like the clever, sort of funny name. Because you do that, and it's really cool at first, but then you paint yourself into a corner very quickly. And like, I thought Film Drunk was clever when I came up with it, because I was like, oh yeah, it's Film Drunk, you know, like Punch Drunk. You're like in a daze from seeing, like, it's someone who's seen a lot of movies. But then immediately when I started it, it was like, oh, it's just this drunk dude reviews movies. Whereas like, if, you know, my friend worked for film.com, and that just keeps getting bought over and over again, just because it's film.com, people are going to go to it. It's just like, you know, you can do anything with it.
And we're stuck here squirting limes in our eyes, just trying to get by.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd actually done something before. Like, I was doing like these little web videos for like a couple months for something called Cinema Sucks. And it was kind of like this tongue-in-cheek title that I'd or URL that I'd bought. And then like, it just turned out to be, everybody thought it was just me and a friend of mine like being like bitter and angry and hating everything we watched. So like that, we put the kibosh on that.
Yeah, it's hard to communicate subtext. People tend to not.
What about in the comments
section?
People
tend to not catch subtext at all, ever. Like, in the older I get, the more I realize that people almost never get any subtext.
You should read your comments more often, because I think they get it all there.
Oh yeah.
Tangentially related to Antiques Roadshow, my girlfriend's out of town, and so I just like turned on the TV, and I was watching something on lions on National Geographic. I'm like, oh, this is so nice to not watch a show that's about digging through other people's shit. Like, every show on TV.
Oh, did she watch those?
Every one. Oh. She watched every single one.
I always wonder who watched
those.
Storage
doors and stuff?
Yeah, and then, like, you know, all the antique shit.
Isn't there one about guys who, like, buy people's bags that they leave at the airport now?
It's awful.
It's called, like, baggage pimps or something.
Yeah, yeah, everything's got to be, like, yeah. It's like baggage dildoers. Like, everything has to be like an innuendo or some sort of ridiculous.
There's like three different shows with pawn as a porn pun.
Yeah. That gimmick wore off in about one minute for me.
Yeah. Well, why would I want to watch people who buy? That sounds like the worst job in the world.
We got a good deal. This is like a sweet old thing that's worth a couple bucks.
Yeah.
I actually really like on PBS, I like Nova. I've always enjoyed.
Nova's always been pretty good.
Yeah. Also, I think there's to go back on the digging through other people's shit. There's also the thing that's annoying is they haggle, and I understand it's their job, but they're so crass about it where it's like some guy who's just been, you know, holding on to this stuff for years, and he's like, I haggled him down to $200. I can flip this thing for $1,000. It's like, congratulations, like you ripped off some old you know, jerk who's just happy to have like
the Olympics of ruining old people.
Yeah, who's happy to have like the only human interaction he's had in the last 8 years. That was like a guy I interviewed for a job the other day who was talking about how it was for a sales position. He was talking about how he was going to be really good at sales because his current job was doing auto financing for people. And he was like, listen, I don't get paid unless I set them up with a financing that's at a higher rate than what they're approved for.
Wow.
So, like, his whole job is, like, if they're approved for, like, 2% financing, he sets them up with finance for, like, 5%, and then he takes the difference. Ouch. And I'm like, yeah, why don't you just go?
That's awful.
It's really weird that our society is sort of, not to get too lofty, but we've sort of gotten to the point where we sort of reward that, where we're like, well, he's just, you know, he's just let a player play. He's playing the game, man. You know, he knows how to do it.
Right.
I was like, what? He makes money, so it's okay. Yeah, all right. Well, not really.
I also feel like none of those guys really make money. They're like, well, I spent all day at this fucking storage yard, and I made $1,200 on this locker. It was a good day. Not to mention, it's all so contrived where they're like going through it, and then someone's like, whoa, Jimmy, what's this? Todd said, what's this? And I'm thinking, if this isn't big, we're not making money. And then it like goes to an ad to keep you in suspense.
Brennan's like a one-man show on TV.
I know. Bad TV. We should just set him up and record him talking to the television.
Well,
my girlfriend has now become a treasure trove of material for me. Just watches
That's
horrible.
That's all good girlfriend should be.
Yeah, just watches horrible TV.
So in addition to your guys' your All About Terrence Malick video, which I enjoyed, especially the shot of the hand just sort of gliding across the weed field with the slight lens flare.
Yeah.
That was so perfectly Terrence Malick. But so you guys have been doing a lot of Downton Abbey stuff lately.
Absolutely.
I had a question about, because I watch it. I don't know if these guys watch it, but I watch it religiously.
I might have teared up a little bit
at the last
week. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that was going to happen with the doctors. And, yeah.
Ouch, yeah.
So I don't know if I missed this, because I think I missed a couple of the early on episodes. Is the middle daughter like from a different set of parents? Like, she's looked completely different than the other two daughters.
No. She's the typical middle daughter that is neither the older, sophisticated pretty one or the younger kind of dreamy.
Rebellious pretty one.
Yeah. She's the one that looks like Michael Cera.
So true.
Michaela Cera?
What is your favorite dynamic in that show? Sorry to put you on the spot, I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the season has been pretty interesting because I think that Robert is just an idiot and a dick. And he seemed like he was so nice and just sort of like really fair and just. And then he just makes all these like really, really terrible decisions in season 3. So I'm intrigued by how far he's fallen this season. And as a caveat to that, I was talking to my friend about it yesterday, just two dudes talking about Downton Abbey, not me and Patrick, but some other dude.
As you do.
And he pointed out, he just said, he's also like, and Matthew's a pussy too. And I was like, oh, that's a good point. So I think the Robert Matthew issues are interesting.
Yeah, I like those because they're businesslike.
I was into the Matthew storyline until, like, you know, I mean, that jumped the shark once they decided to get married. And so, like, this third season, it's like, I mean, even though, like, Steve and I don't particularly talk about it too much, but I kind of get a kick out of the whole Bates thing because it's just so ridiculous. Everything about his scenes, nothing makes sense. Like, when he's in jail, like, yeah. How does he hide? Like, you know, like he gets framed or somebody tries to set him up with, like, having some contraband or something or, like, a weapon in his bunk. And then he, like, finds it and he holds it in his hand. And like,
yeah.
The guys don't search him. He just kind of, then he presses it into like the Velcro wall. I don't know what it is. They must have like the worst brick ever because he just kind of presses it into the wall, and it's like no one sees it, and it just don't make a lick of sense. And so like, I think like the longer the show goes, like it's getting more like in a good way, kind of absurd and ridiculous like that.
That whole storyline seems like it could be from a different show,
right?
And then.
Yeah.
I like the dynamic between the older sister and the middle sister. Where what's the older sister's name?
Mary.
She'll just talk to her. She'll just be like, I know we've never gotten along. We don't like each other. But blah, blah, blah. That's like how she prefaces the sentences. Like, I know that you hate me and I hate you, but let's try to be civil this one time.
Right. Like when Edith is the middle sister's about to get married, and it's like, I know we don't always get along, and we probably won't get along after this, but I hope you have a good wedding day.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's a nice thing to say. Put that on a Hallmark card.
When Sybil passes away, like the sisters, maybe it's Edith, she's like, can we be closer sisters, essentially? And she's like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Not so much.
For people who don't watch it, like
am I the only one out of everyone that doesn't watch it here?
Brendan?
I pulled my headphones out because I do plan on watching it at some point. Sorry.
That was actually pretty good timing on pulling those out because you just missed the...
We aren't getting spoilery now, but I would say... I've been watching a lot of like Breaking Bad and Mad Men also, and the difference between Downton Abbey and those shows is that, like, on Breaking Bad and Mad Men, I feel like there's times where they don't have a big story issue plan for like an episode and a half. So like there'll be an entire episode or like chunks of two different episodes where nothing really happens and they're just sort of like stylizing it and treading water. Whereas like Downton, if you miss 15 minutes, like seven different things have happened. It's like,
and you'll pay for it in season four because you forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's constantly like Downton Abbey is constantly, like, cause they have to weave so many of those characters together. It's like, it's really fascinating melodrama. I mean, I grew up watching a lot of soap operas. Don't ask me why. I find that kind of in this, and everybody's always like, they say something and somebody just happens to be walking by and overhears it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like everybody wears like really heavy heeled shoes, but they never hear anybody like walking around or walking in around the corner. And it's like everybody's like walking in socks or something.
They have ninja,
they walk into the room.
Ninja soles on those things.
Yeah.
I think there's like some people that you just sort of think are dicks. And like they just sort of shoot them like, all right, well, this guy's going to be the dick. And it doesn't even really matter what that guy does. It's like they've sort of just painted him as the dick character. Yeah. And he'll just be being nice for like a whole episode and a half. And you're like, why is this guy being nice? And you know it's going to turn around. It's going to be a trap at some point.
I think part of it's just the BBC way of shooting where they know they have a set time frame, which I am entirely in favor for because I think it makes for better watching. If you know that you don't have to maybe make a season six happen where you, I mean, a lot of the cop shows on the BBC are actually fairly good, even though they're still kind of procedural.
Look like a normal BBC, like, as most of the BBC stuff looks like they shot it on like an ass camera.
You look at the old PAL stuff, man. The new stuff's all high dev digital. I mean, you look at Luther with Idris Elba and stuff. I mean, that stuff's...
I haven't watched a lot of other newer British TV, I guess.
Old stuff
looks horrible.
It's playing by a familiar formula, but they kind of do it to the nines. And in a lot of places where the American victim will survive by stroke of luck or correct timing, sometimes they'll just show up and they'll just be, you know, corpses everywhere in the BBC one. You're like, wow, that's a bit of an unexpected turn. I was kind of thinking that, you know, given American sensibilities, everyone would make it through this, and they don't.
We start with corpses, but then you have Vincent D'Onofrio show up and tell you like what kind of semen they found on the body.
Yeah, we work backwards in America.
Yeah, they don't show that part. They just get graphic with their talk. So you guys, tell us about, you had a Kickstarter going recently called Awesome Asian Bad Guys.
We're doing this web series called Awesome Asian Bad Guys. We wanted to do this project because when we were, you know, watching movies in the 80s and 90s, these action movies, there would always be some scene where the hero, whether it's like Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, would go up against some badass-looking Asian dude who would show up, and you'd be like, man, okay, now the hero is like totally going to get, you know, fucked up because this guy is just looks amazing. And then the Asian bad guy would just get like clobbered like pretty quickly, and that was it. And so we're like, man, you know, I wish we could see more of these Asian bad guys because they were so badass. And so we're like, let's make a web series. It's like, why not? Let's make a web series and call it Awesome Asian Bad Guys. So that was the idea, and we did this Kickstarter, and we're kind of just getting ready to shoot it in the next couple months.
Who are some of the actual bad guys in question that you've gotten involved?
Sure. So the two main bad guys who we have involved, one is Al Leong, and he was in Big Trouble in Little China. He sort of basically, he has this like Fu Manchu.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if you don't have Lo Pan, you are missing out.
Right.
Also, Tong Po and Chong Li.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chong Li is the one that sticks out.
Yeah.
Right. He is somebody who we are really interested in like trying to find a way to get him on board. He works out at a gym sort of near my house.
we've that's something.
We've been watching him, and he's getting a little weirded out, but it's okay.
And
I need a spotter.
You need a spot, bro? By the way, what are you doing next Wednesday?
But we just don't know anybody who really knows him, so we're interested. His name, you know, he was at Bolo, and he was in Enter the Dragon. You know, he was like a teenager or something.
Yeah, he gets stomped out by Bruce Lee, where he does like the super slow mo, like and then looks off into the distance.
It's so good.
Yeah. Oh, it's so classic.
Well, anytime you need a very stocky, buff Asian man. I mean, that's your guy.
Absolutely.
He had the world record in the Kum Tee until Frank Dux.
That's right. The Kumite.
Kumite, yeah.
All right, so you said Al Leong.
Al Leong. And then the other main bad guy we have is Yuji Okamoto, who was the bad guy in Karate Kid 2.
Soto, right?
Soto! Oh. Yagi!
No, he's not the old guy. He was like the young guy.
Oh, okay.
He was like the young guy, yeah. Chosen.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah. So he sort of like, I think Bill Simmons wrote this article talking about how much he loved the Karate Kid series.
I think he's written like 12 of those.
he refers to him as sort of, was it like Asian Japanese Zabka or something like that? Yeah. Billy Zabka, like the Asian version, Japanese version.
So how old is Al Leong now?
60.
Really?
Yeah.
What? So he's just been playing an old man like his whole career?
Al Leong is not Lo Pan.
Yeah. Sorry.
So that's James. That's James Hong.
Okay.
Yeah. Al Leong. Al Leong is the guy who like the Fu Manchu go to. He was also in Die Hard. He was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure as Genghis Khan.
He's got long hair, right?
No. Now I know exactly who you're talking about.
Wait. He's the guy with long hair.
Yes.
Yeah, long hair. Yeah.
Yes.
He's very Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
That's the one that makes me think of his face right away.
So do you know a little bit about what the web series is going to be, or is it still dependent on who you can get involved?
We're working on the script, and you know that we have the storyline of, you know, we're actually in it, and we've got this, you know, we assemble some awesome Asian bad guys and we go on this mission to take down this jerk, basically.
Jerk hunters.
Jerk hunters. Asian jerk hunters. We're definitely like want to see if we can get in touch with Bolo and you know, we can find some spots for other Asian bad guys in the mix.
Yeah, we're Googling how to pick up on dudes at the gym.
If you have suggestions.
Maybe, you know, maybe like Misconnections and Craigslist or something.
Yeah.
So do you think, all right, so do you think that there were a lot of awesome Asian bad guys in the 80s? Do you think that was just sort of part of the sort of 80s Japan phobia, like where everybody was like afraid that the Japanese were buying everything and we were going to be owned by the Japanese in the 80s?
They're buying Pebble Beach!
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of it is just from like, I mean, it was, what, the Vietnam War ended in 75 or something like that. And so it was always kind of like this, true. Oh, let's make a, we need some more bad guys. Let's like, let's choose these dudes because we fought wars against them. Kind of like, a, you know, just a subconscious thing perhaps, but it's like, it was an easy, it was, there were easy marks.
Well, right. Also our economy was stagnating and it was the heyday of the Asian tiger economy.
Right.
And so there was a lot of, kind of consternation around that. The American auto industry is declining. Meanwhile, the Asian auto industry is...
Yeah, there's like a whole Jay Leno movie where he like goes and works at a Honda factory.
I think you're talking about Michael Keaton.
Gung-ho. Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that in the theater.
I got that confused with the one where Jay Leno and...
Pat Morita
team up.
What movie is that? I think we've talked about that on the podcast before. And he makes some joke about... How do I find the only Asian guy that does no karate?
Yeah, and then at the end he does like a flying kick.
Through the windshield and like kicks both people to death.
He kicks the guy's head off through the windshield.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's the power of his foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cause,
yeah, apparently that's called Collision Course. I've never heard of this movie.
Oh, God, you got to Google that scene because it's amazing. Yeah. It's online. I know it is because I looked it up. I haven't seen the movie. I've just seen that scene about
Vince watches it every morning.
Yeah, every morning before I wake up.
Right before he wakes
according to IMDb, it has a 4.4 rating.
Sounds about right. Sounds about
so
right.
You know it's really good.
Out of 100?
So Jay Leno's a cop.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, they're buddy cops.
Oh, interesting. So yeah. They have a weird dynamic?
Him
hey,
Miyagi.
Well, you know, I just want to uphold the law. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I can't
That's
even listen.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good impression.
Just like nails just running down my spine. Awful.
I don't even think I've tried a Jay Leno impersonation before. You just gotta hey. Say what you're doing.
Hey, you just gotta listen.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Just stop.
You have to just say what you're doing, and then you ask if everyone's heard about it. Like, yeah, well, you know, I think I'm gonna have the blueberry on my oatmeal. Have you heard about this?
Damn it. Jesus. Awful.
I'm gonna start a movie with Pat Morita. Have you heard about this? Are you guys aware of this? Yeah, it's true.
Let's talk editing. You guys, how much do you shoot? You guys seem very minimalist with your editing, which I think is a big part of the comedic factor, at least for me.
Yeah, I like the fact that you do a happy... You don't do the whole green screen thing. Like, everything is sort of the green screen show. And you sort of found a way to make that... Because that's sort of a format that's... it's a television format, you know, and it's a little bit contrived where I feel like we're past the point where we need a guy there pointing... to the wall as he presents a clip. Like, you can just cut straight to the clip, you know?
Yeah, like the no jump cuts rule is last year's you have to have a laugh track kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if we had a green screen, we might use it. but we also wouldn't want to spend time, like, having to, like, scope things out.
You gotta,
whatever.
Like, hang it up. It's gotta be green.
Yeah. I think I would only want to do it mostly to, like, I guess, like, imitate what Conan, I think, or, like, Andy Richter did, like, that time, like, years ago where he wore, like, a green suit in front of the green screen. And he, like looked like he was just had a floating head, and yeah. It was kind of awesome.
Well, I think the other thing that someone needs to do is we've been talking about how instead of having Andy Serkis doing the motion capture to play, like, Gollum or something, there needs to be a whole movie where Andy Serkis is just... Like, they haven't actually mo-capped him. It's just him in the, like, suit with the ping pong balls all over him, pretending to be, like, the monkey the entire movie.
And we always picture whoever's watching as they're producing it just crying because they've never seen a monkey so realistic.
His performance so beautiful and moving.
Yeah, I'd watch, like, a few minutes of that.
I also like that you guys have the problem with green screen is like they always have a person just sort of standing in front of a blank wall. So then you have the problem of what does that person do with his hands? He's just sort of standing awkwardly where it's just like You guys have sort of incorporated.
I mean, hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, say you're in front of a green screen. You don't know what to do with your hands. Where do they go?
Vince has been on some television programs, and he never knows what to do with his hands.
It's really bad to watch because of the awkwardness that he exudes through not knowing where his hands go.
So what have you tried out with your hands? Like, you just put them in your pockets? You put them?
No, they wouldn't let me put them in my pockets.
This is
goddamn Sundance.
This is a big dilemma for Vince. This is like a big part of his everyday.
Too indie for pockets.
I tried to hook them through my hook my thumbs through my belt loops like Tosh does kind of, and everybody's like, no, no, you got to gesture more, and I'm like, no, I look ridiculous when I gesture because it's very,
very forced.
It's very uncharacteristic for me. Yeah, it's.
Turns out you were right.
Yeah.
Well, right. Yeah. I mean, I guess mostly in our videos, our hands are just out of frame, so we don't have to worry about it. So
that's we're just scratching ourselves.
It's like you guys have an American Gothic sort of vibe.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Actually, like speaking of scratching ourselves, we just shot, we created an award, the National Film Society Award, because we have this name, and so we can do things like have an award, because you don't really...
Dude, will you give me an award so I can be like, I've received an award from the National Film Society.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
We really like it when people, like, we want somebody someday to put it on, like, a poster.
It sounds very prestigious.
Best Picture, 2013, National Film Society.
Oh, I guarantee you could get that on a poster, for sure.
Or, it could be for our, new category, Best Duo, 2013.
Dude, movie studios are having to do pull quotes from Twitter. I guarantee you that they would they would kill them. They would fight each other for a National Film Society quote.
So we just shot this. We just shot this video for the awards. And we have the statue, the National Film Society Award. And we did some shots of the award. And one of them is... in front of Patrick's crotch as he scratches himself.
Nice.
And it's probably the best thing we've ever shot, like that one shot.
Well, we'll look forward to that.
What's the award? What does it look like?
So it's a golden statue of a barrel man. it's a man. You see a head and you just see a large barrel, and when you can remove the barrel, and the man's arms come up, and so does his penis.
Okay, I've seen. I used to have one of those little guys.
I think we all did.
Yeah,
because it's the type of thing you're in some sort of foreign country. Maybe it's Mexico or
like what trinket should I buy? Oh, the one where the dong pops out. Okay,
or it poops candy. Yeah, there's two options. I think he just pops out, poops candy.
That's what every 11-year-old boy, when he's walking around the trinket shop. And he pulls up the barrel and he laughs uncontrollably because this guy's wiener is just flopping around. He's like, that is fucking funny, man.
Yeah.
These foreigners are fucking funny. I need to bring this home and show my friends the floppy wiener on this wooden statue.
One last thing before you guys go. Speaking of awards, do you have any Oscars thoughts, predictions? Have you done anything with that yet? Or
do you like to groan? Do you like to groan real loud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we talked about the Oscars, Steve? No.
No, we've never talked about the Oscars.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are?
So they give these away for movie making, but it's not the movies you would expect. It's always kind of a trick. They trick you into thinking it's going to be one movie, but then they switch it out and it's another.
A lot of times it's movies that people have never seen.
Right.
Are you against it? Are you ideologically opposed to it?
No, I mean, so I worked on this friend of mine's short film that won Best Live Action Short a couple of years ago. It's called God of Love. His name is Luke Matheny. He went up 2 years ago. He's like this tall guy with like crazy hair, and he gave this amazing speech. And it's really interesting because his film is like. It's a short film. It's a romantic comedy. It's black and white, and it has this like old timey, sort of throwback jazz score, and it feels like his influence. He's influenced by a lot of like 1950s movies, like he likes Frank Capra, and like filmmakers like that to sort of like feel good. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because it's like, you know, his film got rejected from Sundance, but it won an Oscar. And it's like his film is custom made to please old people. And when you go to Academy events, it's like old people, lots of old people. And so it's like, well, that's, you know, it's like every organization is biased. And it like, you know, the Academy, it's like, if you can please a bunch of old people, then you're in good shape.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
They did e-voting for the first round of Oscars voting, but no one could figure out how to do it. So for the final round, they went back to the paper ballots because none of the old Academy members could figure out how to do it.
How do I? I don't understand. Where do I mail this?
I'd like to vote for the horse. The horse wins all of the Oscars.
Yeah. I mean, award shows are just kind of ridiculous in general, which is like why we kind of invented the National Film Society Awards. Our dream, to some extent, would be to have like a big award show and just kind of have it be pretty ridiculous. But I mean, yeah, like I had the chance to go to the Oscars with like a couple years ago with like a girlfriend at the time. And the place is just the weirdest place in the world, you know? Like, yeah, it's a bunch of old people and just like, you bumped into all these folks. Like, I remember I walked through security and I bumped into Brett Ratner. Like,
oh, yes.
We bumped into each other. And I looked up at him and he looked at me. And this was like a theme for the rest of the night. When people look at you, they take like a few seconds to see if like you're somebody.
Right.
And then like when they realize you're nobody, they just kind of move on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
Brett Ratner was actually checking to make sure you weren't composed of nachos. He was just summing that whole situation up in case you needed to take action.
Are you? Is this a nacho man? Damn it.
I should have started this interview. Do you guys have any Brett Ratner stories? I saw Troy Duffy at a some sort of Comic-Con party, and it was a similar situation. I have a suggestion. I don't know if this is possible, but I think someone should come up with an iPhone app that has like face recognition that syncs with IMDb because like people are always walking around those places. I know that guy from somewhere.
Are you someone? And that's what they'll just call it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll just give you a little red sign. Not worth your time.
Yeah, it's only been like a guest star.
Sorry, guy.
Like Google Glasses.
Yeah.
But for people.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good app for Google Glasses. This person, not famous enough to follow around.
The thing I can't take about Oscar coverage is not the Oscars themselves, which, I mean, the Oscars are the Oscars, whatever. It's like there's entire cottage industries of people that whose entire job is Oscars coverage, and they'll cover it like a political election, like, oh, Argo is peaking just when Lincoln is declining and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, they vote once. It's just old people that vote once. I don't understand where the momentum and there's all these crazy calculations of which awards affect the Oscars. Yeah.
I find the whole thing too awkward to watch, actually. It's not even fun awkward where you can sort of enjoy them suffering. It's just painful the whole way through. It's like no one knows how to be a person anymore. And they just parade these people that have forgotten how to be a human in front of the camera and then expect them to like make something happen that's profound.
Yeah, it's somewhat soul crushing.
I respect like Woody Allen not going, like Terrence Malick not going. I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And just, you know, it's super cool.
Woody Allen's too busy. He's like, dude, I make one movie a year, either writing that or shooting that or something. And I don't know how to use a cell phone, and that's what I do. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, you guys. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yeah. Well, where can people find you and your series and everything else?
Yeah, we're National Film Society. You can find us on youtube.com/National Film Society, also nationalfilmsociety.com, or on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. You know, whatever.
All the good spots.
The good places. Maybe we'll get a Flickr account someday, but not yet.
Would you like to take this opportunity to thank viewers like you?
Absolutely. Thank you to all the viewers. All of you, especially... especially the ones who have found us through our new Downton Abbey videos, who are primarily, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of overlap between, you know, them and this show because it's a lot of like women 45 to 65.
Almost that's, exactly the same audience.
That's that is our demo. Yes.
Almost exclusively our listeners. Great.
Are you guys cashing in on the Downton crossover?
It's
no.
Been,
no. Really? Are you guys not seeing any bumps?
We're seeing, we are.
Yeah, it's been cool to like literally reach new people who've never seen us before. So it's been nice.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So now they did teach you put your hands off screen.
Well, I know. That's what I said. That's how I found them. I was like, I like this format that they're doing.
they don't have to worry about their hands as Brett breaks everything.
Brett just decided to leave and just drop everything on the floor.
I'm not even sure what I was attached to.
Your headphones?
Yeah.
Brett just had his headphones on and he spun around like he's a ballet artist or something.
Now he's going to kick him over because he's got it wrapped around his leg.
So that's what you do. So next time you have a
graceful like a ballerina, that guy.
Put me in.
Next...
I'm scared.
So next time you have a web show, you get your hands off stage.
Right.
Off screen.
Off screen. Well,
off screen.
You don't stand in front of a green screen. That's just
you
sort of a dumb...
Need to...
It's a dumb concept. It doesn't make sense in terms of... It's just like a... It's one of those vestigial remnants of previous mediums.
Well, I'm sure that show will make it through that one fuck up.
What?
The grid. I'm sure it'll pull through.
Yeah, sure.
Season two will be great.
Oh, yeah. Season two.
Well, what's weird is they picked
coming
up
on strong.
Season five before season two. Which
yeah, it's
not
weird.
Normal.
You're just going to have to jump into a different character, aren't you?
I'm going to try just to see if maybe they'll accept me if I'm not me.
Next time, maybe you just move your hands a lot. Like
try to make them
flail.
Blurry.
Flail for all your words.
Just jazz hands the whole time.
Yeah. Like you're talking normal, but your hands are just their own animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be into that.
Or just I could have, you know, like a pinwheel or like a couple of those hollow plastic tubes that you twirl around and they make noise.
Ooh, yeah.
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 So I don't know if you guys saw the oral history of Pulp Fiction in Vanity Fair. Well, I don't know what you want me to do with that noise.
I was just basically trying to completely interrupt you, keep you from proceeding.
Successful.
Well, yeah. No, he wasn't successful because he had to stop and change tactics.
I did, yeah.
Midstream.
He had to address his strategy.
Far from successful.
Here's what I'm going for. You had to give a little State of the Union as to how you're trying to interrupt Vince.
Let me tell you exactly what I'm doing right now.
Look, I've got a threefold plan. It's one, make a noise. Two, describe the noise. And three, ask if Vince is recognizing the noise as a way to interrupt him.
Tell me which one's
really all I'm seeking is validation.
Yeah. Will you be my new mom?
So you're asking us if we...
Oh, yeah. So there's a oral history of Pulp Fiction in Vanity Fair. And I had never heard this story. I've heard a lot of stories... on the background of Pulp Fiction, but I enjoyed the part about how Samuel L. Jackson actually got cast. And the role of Jules Winfield proved difficult to cast, mainly because Samuel L. Jackson was under the impression that the part was his until he found out he was in danger of losing the role to Paul Calderon. Jackson flew out to L.A. for a last-ditch audition with Tarantino. "I was sort of angry, pissed, tired," Jackson recalls. He was also hungry, so he bought a takeout burger on the way to the studio, only to find nobody there to greet him. When they came back, a line producer or somebody who was with them said, "I love your work, Mr. Fishburne," says Jackson. It was like a slow burn. He doesn't know who I am. I was kind of like, fuck it. At that point, I really didn't care. Gladstein remembers Jackson's audition. In comes Sam with a burger in his hand and a drink in the other hand and stinking like fast food. Me and Quentin and Lawrence were sitting on the couch, and he walked in and just started sipping the shake and biting that burger and looking at all of us. I was scared shitless. I thought that this guy was going to shoot a gun right through my head. His eyes were popping out of his head, and he just stole the part," Lawrence Bender adds. "He was the guy you see in the movie. He said, 'Do you think you're just going to give this part to somebody else? I'm going to blow you motherfuckers away.'" And I didn't realize that entire scene was basically inspired by Sam Jackson just showing up with a fucking burger. He was pissed off and threatening to shoot people. And that was pretty great.
Drinking a soda, eating a big burger. Yeah. "This is a tasty burger."
they didn't say outright what that that the eating of the burger was something that he just did.
Say outright.
Like in this, like the story is a little confused about whether him eating the burger was part of the, like he showed up eating the burger.
Whether it was in the script.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
From that.
You got to specify whether the burger was the one that he just bought, that he smelled like fast food from. Because if so, because that's amazing. Like they just.
That's my interpretation.
I interpreted as they wrote that entire scene because he just showed up stinking like fries and was yelling at people.
Granted, we were in our formative years when Pulp Fiction came out, but that whole scene, I remember, was the first time where I was like in a movie watching and just going, oh God, cut away. Just cut away. Why isn't he cutting away when he's just sipping the
drink? Oh, yeah. Or it's just the super long cut where he sips it so hard that his eyes get kind of watery.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's pretty cool.
That is a tasty burger.
So
do you guys feel like Pulp Fiction is justified in creating an entire generation of film students who want to do an elevator scene with two gangsters and guns?
What do you mean justified?
I mean, is its contribution to the culture at large worth an entire generation of film students who want to write a scene with two gangsters who might not be gangsters?
Yeah,
just shooting the shit.
Well, look, everything good's
really
gonna spawn a bunch of crap afterwards.
Exactly. You're not a media major though. You didn't have to sit through 1,800 of those things lined up before you one after another.
Oh, it was
bad.
That doesn't sound like it's my problem then, Brett. You're making it sound like
I'm just saying. Brendan seems a lot happier with his life than I do, and I'm pretty sure it's because of Pulp Fiction.
That's where it starts. But if it's not that, it just would have been something else. If it's not Pulp Fiction,
I would have found something to be disappointed in.
Yeah, that's my point.
Sums it all up. There's Brett in a nutshell right there. Oh, I would have found some way to be disappointed.
Well, it's like you can't really. I mean, yeah, I had to sit through a lot of awful things. I mean, Pulp Fiction is indirectly responsible for. Boondock Saints, and that in and of itself is a very serious knock against it. But that's not really.
But those things,
that movie's
those
fault.
Things add up. The Matrix, can no longer be taken as a statement unto itself. It's a billion years of parodies of the him falling over.
I'll say this: I watched The Matrix not that long ago and was like, man, this was a good movie, and lamented how far it fell in the second and third installments, but B was. Actually felt the opposite of you, Brett, and felt like, you know, despite all the parody and all the shit that came after it, I think it still stands up pretty well on its own.
Yeah.
Except for that one scene where her love brings him back from the dead.
Was that the second one?
No, that, was the first.
That happens in every movie.
That scene, I remember watching it, and I was like, man, this movie is so good, except for that one scene, which is so bad.
It's near the very, very end. He gets shot several times. And then she, like, in the real world, straddles him.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
says,
okay.
It's because I love you now.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up, and then he crushes all the bullets.
Yeah, they had to do
mind.
That. They had did that in Fifth Element, too, where it's like, the other element was love, and I need to love you. Like, why did you need
but
to
did have
this?
But they did have the goofy monk say it, which made it worthwhile.
True. Oh, the Fifth Element
Fifth Element
so
is
great.
Great. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Jean-Baptiste Emmanuel Zorg.
Gary Oldman. Floss in Paradise. There's just so many weird...
What's
like,
the, thought Gary Oldman lost his mind in The Professional? He done lost his mind in The Fifth Element.
Is the planet's name Mr. Shadow? The evil planet?
Well, that's his alias, too.
Yeah, no, and then he calls him and his head bleeds. That is...
But it bleeds like...
I could just watch that scene and be satisfied for movies. It's like, oh, the planet's calling you. His name's Mr. Shadow. Also, you're probably going to have an aneurysm by taking the phone call.
I like that it wasn't even just normal blood. It was like oil. It was
that's
like
every tweet I've tried to make is summarizing that scene. That is so amazing to me.
Also, the big bad... dumb guys that are the weird Neanderthal type alien guys. This pisses me off because I don't know who to tell about this, but there's this fighter Jay Huron, and he looks exactly like when they go into human form, and when they just come out of human form and they turn back into the bad guys. There's this one fighter that looks exactly like him. and I just want to tell people about it.
If only you had
will understand these two references together.
Your Venn diagram does not intersect. You've got zero slivers of shared knowledge.
Null set.
Look at him.
Null set.
Look at
Vince. You should try to start a blog and raise awareness.
I don't know. You got floppier ears.
Maybe a blog that merged your love of film and fighting. Maybe something that referenced the medium that movies are delivered on, and also a state that fighters can achieve after a certain amount of blows to the head.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, I hope he's not in charge of this site. That would be awful.
Oh, no, that would be preposterous.
You mean like fight days?
Celluloid dizziness?
Movie concussion.
Okay.
Movie KO.
Film coma.
You should make it about comedy instead, though. You should realize halfway through that you don't actually care about movies or fights that much, and then just, like, basically make it your stand-up act.
Okay.
Movie knockout.
I could see that.
Yeah, you have to have lots of tenuous connections to movies.
You should get yelled at a lot.
Okay.
And
I see where you guys are going with this.
The one thing you have to do is...
I think I see where you're going with this.
It's pretty much This Is Your Life, just meaner.
You have to.
It's called This Is Your Blog.
Remember that time?
No, it's This Is Your Life, but we've changed it to You've Wasted Your Life, and it's just like all about all the mistakes you've made.
Remember that time you had two fingers of poop on your bed sheets?
Remember that time you fracked your butt and then lit your poop on fire?
You listened to dating advice from four guys who haven't dated in years.
You stole a big Arrowhead bottle from your place of employment.
You shot the gun anywhere in New Hampshire.
It was not Arrowhead. It was Aqua. What the hell is
Aquafina?
That other one? Not Aquafina.
It's the finest Aqua.
Alhambra. There we go.
Just over the shoulder pouring out. I don't care if that's true or not. That is the best mental image of anyone quitting ever. It's just the petty spite that it takes to steal the top of the water cooler and then walk out as it gets both you and the passenger seat of your car wet as you carefully strap it in with the seatbelt.
Yep. Screw those people. Steal your water. That's what I wanted to do to the guy
who's thirsty now, pussies.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. I'm going to have a hearing for when they towed my car. I would really love to steal their water cooler. Because I know they're not going to drop the fine, because my argument is basically like, come on, really?
But that does hold
really?
In the people versus, I don't know.
Because to them it's normal, but I'm like, look, anybody who's from planet Earth and not in this courtroom knows that $800 to get your car towed is fucking amazingly
ridiculous.
Have
you ever seen a jury? No one's from planet Earth.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it's a jury. I think
it's not a jury. It's just some judge.
It's a traffic judge.
Judge Gravel Crotch. He's not going to be too happy.
Especially after
of all the gravel.
Especially after he listens to this.
I know. So, did you read the Jason London story at all? This one seemed up Brendan's alley.
Pooped his pants.
It was pretty enjoyable.
I like that he said, "Hey, it stinks in here," before he pooped his pants. As a delightful.
I got to read the story before we can talk about
it. That's the entire story.
No.
There's not much to add.
Yeah, you're just going to add a bunch of stupid words in the way. Well, he got arrested.
People don't know the story yet.
He got arrested.
Yeah.
In the back of the cop car.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Hey, it's
on his way to the police station."
Oh, you're just gonna read it?
Jason uttered a homophobic slur to the cops, saying, "Guess what, faggot? I fucking love this. I fucking own you guys so hard. I'm rich and I'm motherfucking famous actor. Fucking look up at me, bitch." Jason continued, "It smells like shit in your car, and your breath smells like diarrhea." According to the police report, Jason then leaned to the left and crapped in his pants. Jason then said, "I told you, I'm happy as shit." Yeah. Do you know who that guy is? I didn't know who he was. I had a IMDb.
He's Mallrats and Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. Right? Like a lot of
He's got a twin brother.
Isn't that guy, like a drunken mess too?
There's one that had that crazy elaborate story. I can't remember if it's Jason or Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, he kidnapped himself.
Wasn't that the other brother?
No, I think it was
Oh, it was the same one.
This one's
Jason.
There's Jason and there's Jeremy.
I could have sworn the other one was Jeremy.
I know so many things.
It's weird. You terrify me when you know things.
I even remember I volunteered at this one event in LA, some mini marathon thing, and part of it was a charity like basketball thing, and the Londons were there.
I don't like it when you play sports with celebrities. It creeps me out.
I didn't get to play.
You're playing baseball with the Jonases. You're playing fucking basketball with the Lundgrens. You know where they're
the
from.
Lundgrens?
I wish it was the Lundgrens. But yeah, it was one of them had that weird story, and I mean, the reality is he was just a really bad drug addict, but it was like they forced him to do meth and crack.
Yeah,
like,
of course, people are always forcing you to take drugs.
Dude, I'm going to kidnap you and then make you get high on our drugs.
I'm going to make you take drugs right before your custody hearing. Ha ha.
Can I be real with you guys?
Sure.
You're going to force us to do meth?
It's going to be pretty real. I once saw an episode of MacGyver where they had this kid and he was all tied up and they were like, do these drugs or we'll cut off your fingers. And so I didn't do drugs until I got to college.
And then you did a lot of drugs.
No, never mind. I did drugs before that. Anyway, do drugs. They won't cut off your fingers.
Yeah, I like that story where it was like, yeah, they like kidnapped me and then drove me around and like make me smoke crack and stuff because that's what kidnappers do these days.
Always doing that.
Dude, they pay your ransom and crack in your lungs. Yeah. Smoke it all up for us.
Because what drug addicts love to do is give away their drugs.
It's true.
Yeah.
So I can't decide if Dazed and Confused is good or terrible.
It's awesome. You always sour on movies over time.
No, I just... I don't know.
I still like it.
There are many bad... There's no one the least bit likable in that movie.
Except for Matthew McConaughey.
And I'm not sure... Yeah, that's true. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing. It's kind of a good thing and then kind of not.
Okay, I think you've overthought.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's just like...
Even I'm not interested in engaging you on this one.
You're film drunk.
I think everybody's a little bit over-the-top dickish in that movie. Like, I'm not sure... It's like everybody's kind of a dick to the point where... You feel unstuck from Earth in a little bit.
The black dude's pretty cool because he just takes two of the beers from the six pack and then gives the long haired kid, Tim Lincecum,
the
other four beers, which I thought was pretty righteous.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I thought that was pretty righteous of him.
It's Wiley Wiggins.
Why do you know that? What is wrong with you people?
First of all, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
How did you get a name like that?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is a good actor. Can you imagine him playing the dude who just. Who's entire acting
pinches the bridge of his nose.
Yeah, his entire acting move is pinching the bridge of his nose.
And I mean, to be fair, he puts the hair behind his ear sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That's his other move.
But yeah, the pinching of the nose. The pinching of the nose simultaneously.
Like, everyone's kind of grating in that movie. Like, all the characters are kind of, I mean, except for McConaughey. Like, there's the Goldberg, I forget his first name, Jason Jeremy Goldberg, whatever his name is, where he's like talking himself up about he's going to go punch that guy. And then he gets his ass kicked.
Adam
and you're kind of like feel sorry for him, but you also think he kind of deserved it too.
He gets his ass kicked by Nicky Catt.
Who's that?
He was in Boiler Room.
Okay,
he's definitely that guy. You saw him, you're like, okay, yeah.
Vince, I'm just gonna fix this for you right now. You should stop watching high school movies. You got issues on every side of a high school movie. You should just not do that anymore.
No, I like some high school movies.
Name one.
Oh, I guess Like Crazy was in college.
3 o'clock High. It's a good movie.
I like Chronicle.
The Suicide Pact.
I like. I thought
and they're
Chronicle
like, no,
did,
don't smoke dope. You'll drive off a cliff.
No, that's
man. I got a lot of weird drug references as a child.
That's the one where that the guy who was Crisp in Kindergarten Cop is the bully, and Casey Jamasco. He was in Young Guns.
The fuck is wrong with you people? Do you look this up? Is that your day? Did you just look this all up?
Brendan does. No.
Brendan knows.
Memory,
Brendan
yeah.
just knows.
Some people do research for their movie podcasts. You know, no big deal. Don't feel like you're...
3 o'clock High is a good movie.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I think you're overanalyzing.
The redhead guy is like a weird rapist.
What movie is this?
I'm talking about Dazed and Confused.
Oh.
It's just very enjoyable. Why can't you just enjoy
it? Is it, though?
Yeah.
The fuck is Like Crazy?
It's the one with Anton Yelchin and that chick. Where he builds the chairs.
More like Anton Felchin.
Jesus, Brendan.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. No. No. Mm. So we done?
It was like there was that movie and Jeez. Magic Mike where the main character like designed
shut
chairs.
Up. Just shut up. God damn it.
I hate you.
I know.
Should we bring it to a merciful end?
obviously you guys really want it to be done.
Do you have more on how you don't like high school movies?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to have topics when other people are just telling you to stop talking. You know?
Do you want it to... Are you having,
I'm like, I can't be like, oh, here's some other things I wanted to discuss while everybody's actively trying to squelch and muzzle me.
Vince, has it been a bad been a bad week for your butt?
Just like Judge Grapple Crotch.
No, but you know what? I went to the doctor 3 weeks ago.
For a butt checkup?
Yeah, for a butt checkup, because I wanted to talk.
Wait, so hold on. Do you put,
I wanted to talk.
Do you put,
I wanted to have a serious talk about my butt.
His butt wanted to talk, so he bent over like S. Ventura.
Excuse me. So sometimes I just feel a little overwhelmed.
Look, butt doctor, you're the only one who listens. My friends keep trying to end the podcast before I'm done talking. I just want someone to listen to my jokes.
Go down to my butt and pretend like that's talking to you. So wait, I have two questions. How often do you light your farts on fire in front of your butt doctor?
Always.
And two, do you put your feet in the stirrups?
Yes.
Well, I have to show her how bad the fracking has gotten. So that's when I light the farts. No, but it's all right. So I scheduled the doctor's appointment.
Look at this. I can light my poops on fire.
So I scheduled the doctor's appointment to talk about my fissure because, you know, it's like an ongoing problem. And then what did you know it? My fissure heals up the most it's ever been healed right before I go to the doctor.
You know it?
And then I leave the doctor's office, and like a week later, boom, fissure town.
Fissure flare.
Yeah. What do I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this butthole.
Hey, you only get one.
Yeah, I know. It's like my cross to bear.
It's like
it's your hole to bear.
Mm.
Opinions.
What?
It's like opinions.
Everyone has them. They all have fissures.
Oh, don't say it. You can't say it. Ruins it. Are we done?
Mine's, everybody has opinions, but mine's worse. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes.
Mine's cracked.
Yours is broken and bleeding. Was never really that assembled to begin with. It's just sort of a loose confederacy of butthole muscles.
I have a question. If it was really bad, what would the difference be? They just looked at a fissured butt?
No, they give him a new one. He gets a butthole transplant.
Ooh. What sort of animals?
I would like a 15-year-old boy's just young, nubile ring. You know, like if he bites it and if he gets run over by a bus or something. Like maybe the just top half of him gets run over by a bus, but his cornhole is still just fresh as the day.
So if you could choose.
Hold on, doctor. We can save this asshole.
That is such a naive and childish way.
Put it in a Ziploc bag.
Look, you're,
Vince now supports stem cell technology.
You're looking at it like a child would look at a new, like, space. So the child... The child looks at space and thinks, oh, you know, it's dark. What you need to get is a deer's butthole.
Okay.
All right? Because they're nimble.
That's the worst analogy ever.
So, Vince, you have the...
The cool thing about deer is they have the tail right by the butthole.
I know. So
it's kind of like one of those trash cans that you step on and the lid pops up. Except it's like you step on it and then the poop just comes out right
now.
You tail.
Now you become a spacefaring man.
I would love
that. You were David Bowie the astronaut.
So what nationality butthole would you choose? You have whatever you want.
Well, I'm going to take Indian because.
Because they can shit the
because
hot fire.
All
Indian
that
food.
Curry that they eat, man, Jesus. They must have. Their butthole just must be made out of resistol or something.
I think it's bedrock.
Yeah.
Bedrock butt.
Yeah, obsidian.
Unobtainium. So if it was really bad when you saw the doctor, what would the difference be?
What do you mean?
Like, don't they prescribe you some sort of fracking
medication? No, because they didn't prescribe me anything. They're just like, oh, yeah, you know, keep taking fiber, you're good.
It's too late. The gas has been extracted.
They're like, it looks kind of red, but you know.
Groundwater's poisoned.
Just keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, but no. I have to fix it. Can you spackle it or something?
Can you get in there?
Yeah. Need some a drywall patch?
Get in there. Well.
Paint it in apartment white. Just the standard off-white that they use in all apartments.
Uh-huh.
Just gloss it over.
Yeah.
Just pretend like it never happened.
Do you have to paint your apartment before you move out?
Yeah, I got the walls all blue.
Oh. So you're painting it back to what it was.
Yeah, I'm just going to... I mean, half the drawers in my place don't even open because they've got so many layers of apartment standard white. My roommate called the landlord at one point and said, hey, there's mold on the bathroom floor. And so they put crown molding on the bathroom floor to cover up the mold. is a weird choice.
Well,
anyway, you dickbags are going to miss me in New York.
Well, wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob. Oh.
All right,
well, Brendan.
Brendan and Brett want to leave.
You guys, we got some good voicemails this week. Appreciate that.
That was, yeah.
415-275-0030.
I'm going to, anytime I'm feeling down, I'm just going to think of our buddy walking down the office.
Just making mouth grabs. Yeah. Just grabbing with his mouth.
Looking like.
Like a horse without an apple.
Well, he did say it very apt where he said he looked like a carp. Like looking like a fish. Yeah. And, you know, just locking eyes, just looking like a retard with no straw. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very well-told story, too.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys just want to, like, flatter me until I explode, that's cool, too. You can just lay that
shit on
real
thick. You're
going
to turn him into a rage monster.
Yeah.
And also, one more time, just for all our budding...
You'll ruin Brett. He feeds off discontent.
For all of our budding palindrome androids out there, what was it?
You're
supposed to know this.
Hang salami. I'm a lasagna hog. Or
yeah. No.
Go hang a salami. Yeah. I'm a lasagna hog.
There. Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you, Brendan.
Yeah. Go hang a salami. I'm a lasagna hog.
That's pretty good. That's a good band name. Really short.
Lasagna hog?
Yeah. Oh, lasagna hog would be good.
Ring, ring.
What was
it's the two parts of the motorcycle you started up.
Right,
just
right.
End it, Brendan. God damn it.
All right. Thanks for listening once again. Frogcast@gmail.com. You got the Google Voice number already. Until next week, good night and good chins.
Good chins.